Hi all, you're very welcome to episode 6 of the 3D Design Bureau podcast. We shoot the breeze on all things surrounding the AEC sector and 3D design. We release new episodes every second Thursday, and it's wherever you find your podcast. Today, I am joined by Vivian Marcus, who is the sales and marketing manager of Quintain. For a bit of background, Quintain is a leading property developer here in Ireland and the UK who have built thousands of homes. And Vivian, how are you getting on?
I'm good, thank you. And thanks for having me. Thanks for the invite. It's an honor to be part of the 6th episode.
You're very welcome along. So how's life in Quintain, in your offices there in D2?
It's good. It's lively. It's busy. It's interesting. It's very good. We are doing lots of nice, interesting things here in the background, and lots of launches coming up, and it's good.
And you're back in the office, Viv, are you?
We are. We're back in the office. We actually have been back in a sort of phased basis from when sites reopened, but we've been rotating. So when the restrictions lifted with the sites opening, we had a limited amount of people. I think we had maybe about 10, 12 people only in the office. And then as the restrictions began to lift more, we increased the numbers. So I would be maybe in the office once a week, and now I'm here 2 to 3 times a week. But I also work a lot on site, so I go to site quite a bit to visit and do some work from there. So I'm never full-time in the office anyway, because, you know, I have to kind of rotate between the sites for different phases of the project.
And do you find, actually, just interesting, because we've been discussing in-house, Kev, haven't we, about, oh, whether to come back en masse to the office and stuff. And about a month ago, I kind of made an executive decision. I was allowed to do that. And and what we did was we said, you know what, we're going to hold off for the winter and see, you know, how things pan out, you know, during the winter and stuff. And we're the type of company that works well being together, you know, and like, say, some of our partners in the industry, like architects and landscape architects and planning consultants, all are dying to get back to the office. Have you from your point of view, from sales and marketing, is it very beneficial to be in that group, or did you notice any type of dip or fall off or challenge when the pandemic hit?
I think we worked really well remotely. It was a new experience for a lot of the team, but we worked really well. I think it is important to be, you know, present in the same office for certain things. Just flow a bit better, a bit quicker. It's also, I think, nice to exchange that energy with your colleagues, and certain things it's just quicker to turn to someone and be like, hey, you know, how about this? And rather than having to see if the person's available, arranging a Teams call, or, you know. So I think personally, I like the balance. I do feel like we worked really well, but I think it's nice to be back in the office. And the other reason is our office is, we grew quite a bit in the last 2 years since we opened Quintain in Ireland. We grew from 7 to 55. So a lot of the teams, yeah, it's quite a exponential growth. But, you know, nice to meet your colleagues and kind of learn each other's process and in a way of working together. And just, you know, we work really well as a team, but I think getting to know people in person, it just makes that process a bit easier.
Totally. And Vivian, the first, I suppose, question on my list is an overview of Vivian. So you can get as spiritual as you like with that now, but it's kind of just for people who are not familiar a bit on your background and how you became the sales and marketing manager of Quintain.
Sure. Well, I'm an expat. I'm Brazilian originally. I've been in Ireland 14 and a half years. Not that I'm counting, but I am. I love it here. I came initially, as a lot of other expats, for you know, a period of time, just to, in my case, it wasn't to learn English or anything. I already spoke English. It was, you know, a different kind of experience. I wanted to experience something different. And I have a bit of background property background from home, from family business. I worked in logistics back in Brazil. And then I moved to Ireland, and I just worked full time in the property world in a real estate agency in like in Ranelagh, and they were great to me. They gave me a platform, and from then on, I went to DIT. I sort of got a diploma, and from then on, during my time with the state agent, I worked with different sectors of property. So I did rentals, I did sales of new homes, second homes, I did commercial sales and rentals. I was exposed to a lot of the different facets, and I really enjoyed the new homes part of the business and the development side of the business. So from then, after a good few years working there, I moved on to from the client side and worked for a developer. So I worked for a very large developer for a couple of years. And then I got the opportunity, I was invited to work for a property tech company based in Spain. And they wanted to open a branch in Ireland. And they approached me, and it was very interesting, very different working in the tech world. I'm interested in technology, I've always been. So I thought it was great learning opportunity and exposure. So I opened the office for the company. Spot Home was the name in Ireland in 2019. And then the pandemic hit, and that affected us as a startup. It was a startup tech company, so that affected us greatly. So then I'm back in development, and I started with Quintain a year and a half ago.
And tell me this, because you've been now on the service side of servicing the clients, you're in the client side, and for all intents and purposes, you're in a startup, you know, and setting up a base here. That's three very different outlooks and three very different not sectors, but very different roles to be in. Have you? Which would be now, obviously you're going to say the client side is the best, but like, so let me ask the question, was there very different challenges in each section, in each role?
Completely different, completely different approaches as well. And, you know, I do prefer client side. I did move for a reason, and it is a lot of work. I think, you know, working in client side, and we are, luckily, because I do like to be exposed to the different areas of development. So, you know, from acquisition all the way to closing and you know, the entire customer journey. But, you know, being really involved on design and specification. And I just find that very interesting. It's all a very analytical approach to development, you know, and we're not just, okay, here's plans, build the house, off you go. You know, we really look to meet the needs and wants of our target market, and each site and each development has a different target market. So we're always learning and always trying to innovate, or, you know, and meet the needs, because, you know, everything progresses. I think COVID has shown us a lot that life progresses and people's needs and wants progress and change, and we need to change along with it. I personally really like working client side. You know, I like working with a professional team. And like I said, we really are exposed to so many different sides of the property development, and some sides that you wouldn't have as much contact being, you know, working as an estate agent. So it's different. They're both interesting.
Is it faster pace?
It is faster paced. Yes, it is. Well, for me at least, it is. But that's because I deal with a lot more. A volume is a lot larger, you know. And working a large scale developer, I've only worked, you know, client side in large scale with large scale developers. When I was working as an estate agent, I worked with smaller developers, and that was super interesting as well, because then you kind of are their right hand side. You know, you really get stuck into things because it's a small team that they have. But on this side, it's just, you know, you just really get exposed to items that when you're a state agent, you're their contact, you get into things mostly as you're approaching the kind of marketing side, and then you go to sale and you're really going through your registration list and talking to buyers and understanding your buyers and refining that list and trying to get the buyers. And here, you know, it's a broader approach, and I do touch every side of it. So I feel like that's, for me, it suits me best.
Excellent. And on that, we're very familiar with Quintin here. We've had the pleasure of working with you on a few projects. Would you mind just giving us a quick overview of Quintin and the overall ambition and strategy of the company?
Sure. So we, like I said, we established about 2 years ago, and we grew from 7 to 55. We have four large land banks that we are working through, and they are basically new towns. So we have Adamstown and Lucan, that we have over nearly 5,000 units being built there. We have Port Marnock that has 1,100 units. Then we have Cherrywood that has capacity for about 3,000. And then we have a smaller land bank in Clonburris, which is close to Lucan, that has a capacity for about 350 units. So really our ambition here is to develop these towns into places that are, you know, lovely new neighborhoods for people to want to live in. So as part of that, you're not only developing one type of home or one type of development. So, you know, imagine that we are developing in Cherrywood or in Adamstown and Lucan, you know, close to over 4,000 units. So you need to diversify your target market and diversify the type of homes you're building and bringing to the market, because that's what makes a neighborhood a neighborhood. It's not only one type or just residential. We also develop commercial, you know, to go alongside that, and parks, you know, amenities. One thing that all of our sites have in common is the connectivity. They're all very close to public transport in terms of trains or the Lewis or bus corridors, or, you know, all of them. So that's one thing that all of our sites have in common. It's one thing that makes, I think, a neighborhood an interesting place to live in, you know, compared to a more established neighborhood that already has all that. We want to build communities that really are new, you know, a new location, but a new location that is interesting, and it offers the diverse diverse amenities and diverse homes, you know, that you could live in.
In terms of the developments themselves, if you localize them there, so in terms of the developments, have you noticed a shift in the last 2 years of what the buyer wants? Is it very clear what the buyer wants to what it wanted 2-3 years ago?
I think that it has changed, for sure. It has changed. You know, people want more space. You know, maybe they would be happy on a two bedroom home. Perhaps now they want to stretch to a three bedroom and get a home office. I think, you know, I was listening to last week's podcast, from the last podcast that you had with North, and they rightly said that, you know, there is a want now for a bit of segregation in the home. You know, before it was a lot of open plan, and now some people want or prefer to have that segregation, that you can, because of working from home, and you can separate the kitchen area from the living room. In our case, we are very we pay a lot of attention to the layout and storage spaces where you can choose to work from home. Where we can, we add a little study or an office or an area that you can segregate as your work from home. But I guess, you know, storage has always been something that people request and comment on being one of the needs in new homes. Storage, kitchen, you know, kitchen space, counter space, wardrobe, that kind of thing. It's very important, and we really pay attention to that. It's you know, we're always looking for feedback. We always have meetings with our agents after a launch, and we really debrief, you know, how did that go? What was the feedback? We have feedback forms in our launches. You know, we really want people to comment on, and where we can, we will adapt and change. It's important. I think, you know, we also put ourselves into, when we're designing a home, we're always, okay, how would I use the space? You know, how can we make this space? How can we improve it? We don't want to have any dead space in the homes. We really try to optimize everything that we can to make that home as attractive as possible to the target market that we're trying to hit.
And on that, there's, I suppose I counted, there's 10, 11 different schemes across those land zones in the Dublin suburbs. How do you go about managing 10 different schemes that are essentially 10 different brands under the umbrella of Quintain? So each would, I imagine, require different brochures, different branding, different social media platforms, different dedicated zones on the website. How do you go about managing those different developments and their launches?
Can you see my grace? No. No, well, first of all, we are a team. It's not only me. I have a great team that I work with. We have our director, Helena Hayes, Helena Kelleher, and Niamh Revel, who looks after completions. And they're, you know, amazing to work with. We really feel lucky that I work as, you know, in a very strong team with people that really get what we're all, you know, we're all in the same, we're all in sync with what we're trying to deliver, which makes things a lot easier and better to work with. So we split the sites between us, and, you know, we each are in a different projects. And I think you've dealt with different, you know, with some of us, with Helena Kelleher sometimes it's me, depending on which land bank we're working with or which site. And also depends on the phase that the site is. First phase is always the one that has a lot more work to be done, because we really are looking, we don't deliver kind of cookie cutters type of homes. You know, each development has something different. Again, us trying to improve or optimize the site depending on where it is, but depends on the target market. So the first phase takes a lot of work. You know, we're working since, you know, once it goes through planning, or even before planning, we're working with our development team before we go to planning, in terms of kind of house types that we should put in, you know, in that site, depending on the target market again. What kind of layouts then internally? So it's not just 3 and 4 bedroom homes, they're all the same, you know, off you go. We have so many different types of 3 and 4 bedroom homes, or 2 bedroom homes, and then duplexes, apartments. It really depends. So really going through all that, we spend hours and hours and hours designing and working with a professional team, you know, improving and making as good as we can. You know, a great house, it's what we're always trying to deliver, and the house that people will be like, yes, I'm so happy, this is exactly what I was looking for. It really it hits every, you know, point of my checklist, and it's what we're trying to deliver. So then, you know, after that, of course, there is the branding, and then, you know, there's the entire customer journey goes from when we is in directed to our market, when we go to outside, it's from when we stick the first spade in, on site, to all the way to after they close, you know. So it's a long journey if you think about it, because we're selling and advertising and working on it before we have houses up. Then we have houses up, we have show houses, we see people on site, they see the homes, they put a deposit down, then they wait a few months for the homes to be finished. We go through completion, you know, we give them a little kind of housewarming gift, you know, to welcome them to their new home. But then there's the whole after sales, you know, because there are always things that could happen, and just being available to your buyers for 6 to 12 months afterwards to kind of tend to their queries or issues, you know, that could happen. So all this is part of what we do. So it really starts from pre-planning all the way to handling keys and after, for another 6 months to a year.
I think that's right. You just touched on there being available for 6 to 12 months after someone buys a house. That it just can't be underrated. Like, you know, that's so important for a developer to know that you've got a developer who has developed out a scheme, and that, because as you said, when you move into a new house, your snag list, you know what I mean, there's a snag list, and sometimes it takes a couple of months for stuff to come out of the wash because houses are settling and warming up and all that sort of stuff. So it is really important. And it's good to hear that, you know what I mean, that's part of the customer journey. Like, in terms of pre-sales, you know, what's your view on it? Like, you know, because obviously we're in a housing crisis. Everyone wants to buy a home. Everyone needs a home. And there's a lot of bad press at the moment around developers and around BTRs and institutional investment, all that sort of stuff. But like the way you're building communities is so positive. But in terms of pre-sales, like, do you focus much on the pre-sales? I know obviously we get involved with you in pre-sales and stuff. So what's your take on that?
Well, it's important. There's different types of pre-sale. As we're pre-selling in terms of qualifying our buyers and as well educating them on what we're bringing to the market. That's one side of pre-selling. The other side of pre-selling is, you know, selling off plans. But we tend to do first phases always out of show homes, you know, because we really, it's the first introduction to our new homeowners to that development. And it's, I think it's very, we are all very visual beings, no matter what, you know, and buying a home, it's such a, it's probably your largest financial commitment. And we don't expect, you know, we don't take it lightly, and we really want people to see the product. Now, there are, when we go to a second phase or third phase and we want to introduce a new house type, and perhaps it'll take longer for us to be able to have a new show house, that's when we do the off plans and we use, you know, the 3D visualization and your CGI walkthrough, which are amazing and help so much, because our houses that we are designing on paper and we expect them to work really well, but then when you're on site or you have the opportunity to even view it through, you know, the 3D visualization, sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe we could move this way, it would be better, it would, you know, and I think that the 3D visualization is great for that. And for our buyers that we can't bring them, if we can't bring them to a show house, that's the second best option. And like I said, there is lack of homes, and could we sell them just with a regular floor plan? Perhaps, but we're really trying to set, to make that as the best journey as possible. Like we said, you know, I think it's very helpful for somebody to imagine themselves walking through that house, and I think the 3D visualization helps that immensely. And it's an amazing tool that we will continue to use. You know, you'll be glad to hear.
Yes. but yes, we
feel like it's a great tool. But like I said, first phase, we really like to have show homes. We like to get people into the houses, touch and feel the product. You know, I think that the technology doesn't replace that, you know, but it's definitely a great tool to add to it.
Yeah, it's definitely a stepping stone in the buy-in process. Would you use 3D visualizations across each development? Like, is that part of the marketing strategy for each scheme that you're going to be launching? Is that each one will have some form or some level of 3D visualization?
Yeah, some level is definitely the idea. So as we're building new developments in each land bank, like I said, they are all tend to be a bit different to the next. We don't want to build 5,000 homes in Adam Sound that they all look exactly the same. It just, you know, you need some variety. And we also, the target market is different for different phases. So because of that, we want to advertise and like want people to, again, visualize what they're going to buy. So we tend to start with external CGIs, as you do a lot of those for us. Showing, you know, our most common house types, but we also like to show a little bit of amenity and space within that. We're not really only selling the homes here, we're really selling that new neighborhood and what that has to offer. So if you recall, a lot of the CGIs that you do for us, it shows a bit of the amenity space, not only the homes. The homes are very important. It is the product, the main product is the largest volume of product, but it is the entire neighborhood and development that we're trying to sell, that the new location that somebody's going to live in. So there will always be probably, I'd say, you know, we'll most likely use a lot of the CGIs going forward until we have real pictures. We will start with the CGIs and then move on to real pictures when we have a show court built.
Are you finding demand huge now at the moment? You know, in terms of your supply, like you've mentioned, some pretty high numbers there in terms of your output over the next, what, three to five year time frame, something
like
that. Yeah,
longer again, yes. It depends on the land bank. There's, you know, it will be longer. But yeah, there is a huge demand. Every time we launch a new development, we have a lot of registrations coming in. Of course, the registrations of interest is something that, you know, people might register because they want to buy at some stage in their lives in 2-3 years time, or could be in 6 months time. So it's not always people that are ready to go, ready to purchase, but they're interested on the area, interested in that new development. There's also, you know, peers and other stakeholders that register just, you know, to keep an eye. So, but there is a large number of registrations. And one thing, one part of our jobs in sales and marketing is we really analyze that data quite a bit. You know, we don't just acquire registrations and just, you know, leave them sitting there. We work with a separate company that helps us a lot on analyzing that data and seeing, you know, back in the day, as an example, back in the day, perhaps before COVID, you would see that 3-bedroom homes would be mostly attract the interest of first-time buyers, 2 and 3 beds, and 4 beds a lot of the times would be traders, you know, people trading up most of the time, or even lateral movers. But with COVID, what we noticed that a lot of our 4-bedroom homes, the registrations are tipping higher on the first-time buyers, you know, because people want more space. So that has changed. You know, the profile of the buyer has changed in quite a few of our developments, which is interesting to see. But it's a bit of, again, that touches on the analytical side of things, that we really try to understand our target market when we are selling a home.
Isn't that a challenge, though, then, for you? Because you're, you know, 4-bedroom homes, bigger, take up more space, you know, and then you're 3 bedrooms. So it's that, you know, walking that tightrope of the commercial side of it to delivering what the buyer wants.
Yes, but we need to deliver a balance, because we want a balanced community. You know, we can't deliver development, you know, that only serves one type of target market. It has to be, we need to, you know, a good sustainable community attracts different types of residents. You know, it's important that you have that variety. So you could have a 2-bedroom home that could be an investor that could buy and then rent out, or somebody who's buying for the first time and renting that 2nd bedroom, and then you have 3 bedrooms with kind of younger families, and, you know, 4 bedrooms with you know, families that are a little bit more established. Then you have duplexes. Again, it could be different, you know, professionals or investors. So I think it's very important to have that diversity, you know, in a neighborhood. It's what makes it interesting, and you know, it makes it a nice place to live. I think a lot of the time people want to live in a more established neighborhood for that as well, and for the amenities, you know, for you want to be able to walk to your pub or to your shop around the corner. So all these things are things that are important to us, and we are developing our commercial side of each development or each land bank based on that. So in Port Marnock, for example, we have a local centre currently being built on the main road, and Port Marnock, our development is sits right beside a train station, which is, you know, pretty amazing. But with that, you have to think the different types of people that would suit, you know, and I think it makes a very attractive development. It's one of, you know, super popular, but it's not our entry level. We have, you know, entry level developments, and we have mid market, and we have aspirational. You know, and within the same land bank, we have a mix of all those.
Good stuff. Now, Vivian, I promised I wouldn't keep you for more than half an hour, because I know how busy you are. You've had a recent launch. You
yes.
have 11 or so properties you have to manage. I was going a bit great now listening to the amount of work that has to be done on each one of them.
I do have just one question, though, just yep. on the social media side of things. What is the one platform that performs the best from a marketing perspective for Quintain and your schemes?
It's a lot of our digital ads are paid, you know, sponsored ads, and it's funny because they perform differently depending on the target market. But I have to say, it's the Facebook platform, between Facebook and Instagram, they definitely perform
Meta.
Yeah. Yeah. Will we ever call that? Yeah. Meta.
I know because I go onto your website a lot just to inform our own articles and stuff when we do a scheme together. But I do notice the retargeting that you do, and I try not to click them because I know you pay for them.
Thanks, Kevin. That's much appreciated.
Always here to help out on that sense. But that's perfect. Do you have anything more you'd like to discuss, Vivian, or are you happy enough with that?
I think I'm happy. Hopefully I could shed a light on what it is that we do, and you know what's to come. So excellent. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted with that. So with the podcast, we have to plug it one more time. It's released every second Thursday morning, and it's wherever you find your podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, drop us a line at 3D Design Bureau on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And with Quintain, you can find out more about them at quintain.ie. They have developments in the Dublin suburbs, so Port Marnock, Lucan, Adamstown, Cherrywood, and Clonburris, which is a new development coming up. So do check them out, and thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Melvin. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Bye.